Third Nephi, chapter 16, in verses 1 through 3, he says that he has other sheep and that he still will go to minister to them. Now, he's again repeating this idea that he has other people. And the point of this is he's trying to make it clear to others that to everyone that they have no right to take a chosen people attitude. And in fact, usually when you do that, it results in your doom. The Lord will work with any people he wants to fulfill the covenants that he has made with the house of Israel. Well, he then goes on to explain what his plan for the last days was. He says that his plan is to have the Gentiles take his word or the Book of Mormon to the scattered Israel or all his scattered people in the last days, which began under Joseph Smith. And then he says that he will gather all of them, which is the fulfilling of his covenant. And they began to gather. And then in verses 6 through 19, he says that he blesses the Gentiles or the Mormon church for doing this work. But then in verse 10, he says, at that day when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel. Now again, someone would want to say, oh, he's just talking about the country or all the Gentiles in America. But no, he goes on, he's then said, and shall reject the fullness of my gospel. Now again, the fullness is not what is being taken to the by the missionaries or offered to America. The fullness is what is given or what the people that are in the Mormon church have, and they are rejecting the fullness of it, meaning they will accept parts or pieces, but they won't accept the fullness. And again, he says, at that day, which means it's going to happen. Now, I will point out that the phrase, and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, was in the first edition of the Book of Mormon, but has been deleted in years past. And the reason is because at the end of that verse, it repeats, and shall reject the fullness of my gospel. But I feel that it's important. And if Joseph Smith felt that it was important to put that in there a second time, that obviously the Spirit was trying to tell us that it's important. You will reject it, which kind of coming as a warning. You're going to reject the gospel. Don't do that. And therefore, that portion of this, whether we want to say the rest of this verse is talking to all Gentiles or not, this portion is definitely talking to the church, and it says that this will happen. You will reject the fullness as they have today, and mainly that we've rejected the Book of Mormon. We've rejected the fact that when we go to the temple, that we are taking a higher covenant than baptism, and taking a higher covenant to serve Christ, and that we are going there to therefore have a physical manifestation that we are His. And that we have truly covenanted that everything that we have and do. Now, we consecrate everything, our whole lives, everything. But this is not something that you take a covenant and then learn about. It means that when you receive the fullness, that you have reached the state that you can now turn over everything you have to the Lord, and that you have it in your character and in your heart, that you need not any of the more products of the world, and that you care not about your property or anything. All you care about is the Lord, and all you want to do is work in Zion, and the meaning of owning your own property has no meaning to you. You recognize that the Lord owns everything, that your life is turned over to Him. You'll do everything to follow Him, but you've already developed the character to do that, and that is the meaning of going to the temple. But we have rejected that meaning because obviously to do that we have to live in a Zion society and be ready to be gathered to be His people. As you recall, that was the fulfilling of the covenant. That was supposed to be the purpose of the Mormon Church, was to gather the people together. They've rejected that. As we've even said, they do not even want to take upon the name of Christ anymore because they do not believe in the idea of gathering and making a making Zion, which is a rejection of that fullness. And I say that very clearly. I say that sincerely, and not only just because of the temple ordinances or anything or how people are there, but the fact that the Book of Mormon has been rejected in the use of in the people's daily lives. Zion has not been created, and all of this has been attested by the present prophet Ezra Taft Benson. Before he went senile, he has condemned the people for that, said they are under condemnation for rejecting the Book of Mormon, and also said that Zion was not established, and it was not even established in Joseph Smith's day. It was never fulfilled. Zion never came about, and that is what we have when we do have the fullness of the gospel. Therefore, having rejected that, and again, the Book of Mormon is the one that says that it says it does happen. At that time, it will happen. And what does it say then? I will bring the fullness of my gospel from among them. Meaning that you'll no longer even have the fullness of the gospel. And some of the teaching things, you know, of great importance. If you have an understanding of what is taught in the sectarian world and so forth, you would understand the vast importance of the things that were deleted from the temple ceremony in order to better mingle in and with the Gentiles who have done some of the more grosser things in such as murder and whoredom and secret combinations and abominations. And these to become part of that, they've had to reject these things. And nonetheless, all I'm doing is giving present day information as an understanding of why the Lord said we reject it. But again, it's not my words that said that it would occur. It is His words, and it says that the gospel, the fullness will be taken from among them. And all I'm saying is we are seeing right now that it is beginning to be taken away. And then it says that I will remember my covenant with my people, the house of Israel. Now remember back in verse 5, he said that he was fulfilling the covenant. Well, he was fulfilling it back in Joseph Smith's day, but he was unable to complete it because the people then began to reject the fullness of the gospel. Now, whether or not some of the gathering has occurred, and so they're gathered to some degree, and whether how much has not been gathered, that information is not given. So we can therefore assume some gathering is there, which means that some who have come into the Mormon Church will be pulled out of that and be part of the will be gathered unto Him, and the rest will be gathered from amongst the world, and He says that He will do that, and then I will bring my gospel unto them, and the key word there is I, meaning no longer is He now allowing the Gentiles to take the gospel to Him, but the Lord will then begin His own work to take the gospel to them. And then he says that that when he takes it to them, he will bring them to a knowledge of the fullness of his gospel. And then to make it clear that again, that this is not just saying a maybe, he then says, and if the Gentiles repent in verse 13, which means that they have done it, they have sinned against the gospel and rejected the fullness, but now if they will repent, then he said that they will be numbered amongst the house of Israel. But the important thing is there, if we go back to verse 12, it said that the Gentiles would not have power over the house of Israel, meaning that the power or the hierarchy given to the leadership of the church will no longer have that power. They will not be their church and authority will not be the one to reign, but it will be given to the house of Israel, and the Gentiles now, if they must repent of their pride and repent of their desires for power and authority, and if they will do that and then come in unto the house of Israel, then they can still be accepted. It goes on to then say in verse 15 that if they will not repent and allow the Lord to bring them amongst the house of Israel, then Israel will come in and tread them down. And this is a sad commentary, because again, when we see the tremendous pride of the Mormon Church and the great chosen people arrogance they have, it will take a tremendous humbling for them to then be willing to say, yes, we are willing to humble ourselves and go in unto, as we'll say, figuratively to go in unto someone else's as a church or a church another church that the Lord has built up. And then he says that the house of Israel, and that's the Lamanites, and I guess any others that he gathers together, will be given this land, and they will be given the land that was possessed by the the Gentiles. And again, we just don't want to conceive in our day that it's possible that we can be swept off the land again. But we sound like the people of Ammonihah, because we don't believe it in the Lord, we don't believe it in righteousness. We believe it in our own power. And then he says, after all of this is done, then will Zion be established. The point here is that Zion has not been established. And no matter how the leaders of the church want to say, yes, it's in your heart, or it has sort of been established, that is not true. The scripture makes it clear Zion has not yet been established, and there is still things to happen before, meaning basically it will be established through the house of Israel.